Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, for decades, from October to April, residents in towns like Belle Glades, Clewiston, and Pahokee experienced snow in Florida. Not the white Christmas you might have in mind, though. Think of dark ash falling from the sky. It comes from the burning of sugarcane fields, an age-old practice in the industry. There's been a fight in recent years to end the burning of sugarcane for the health, environmental, and economic impacts that it has on low-income residents in the county. Two Belle Glades residents have filed lawsuits now, seeking more to join for a class action that wants to put a ban on the practice before the start of this upcoming season. Patrick Ferguson is a full-time organizer with the Sierra Club. He's leading the campaign to end sugarcane burning in Palm Beach County. He joins us now from the studios of WXEL in Boynton Beach. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
You're a lawyer by trade, my understanding, but why are you involved on the issue of sugarcane burning? How did you get into this?
I went to law school at Nova Southeastern University, but I've always been passionate about environmental issues and advocacy on progressive social justice issues as well. So shortly after I graduated, I started getting more and more involved in local activism. And it was through my involvement in local activism that a former law professor of mine counseled me about a recent job opening at the Sierra Club. I was very open to pursuing a career more in line with my passion that didn't necessarily involve requiring a law degree. And this ended up being a perfect fit. And I also had prior experience with the Glades communities. As in high school, I was in the same district for high school football against Glades Central. I went to Cardinal Gibbons High School and had experiences of often going up into these communities where more often than not, we got our butts kicked in football. But, I always had a very positive impact in dealing with the Glades residents.
That means that you, because football season falls in the same season as the sugarcane burning season as well, because it's from October to April. Were you ever out there in those areas any time during the burnings?
You know, I don't really recall, but like most Floridians who don't live in these communities, just seeing a burn off in the distance is just more of a passing novelty than anything. It's not until you spend more time in the community and, get to know the folks and hear about how the smoke and dealing with the black snow negatively impacts them, do you realize how much of a serious issue this really is.
So let's go into the practice of sugarcane burning and why sugar companies have done it for decades now. Again, during the harvesting season, to clear out the sugarcane, they have to do these burns so that they can make it easier to harvest, right? That's the reason they give.
So historically, the practice was developed to get rid of the outer leafy plant material located on the sugarcane plant, and also to remove pests from the field to make it easier for cane cutters to go in and manually cut the cane. And this practice has been maintained in the age of mechanical harvesters by the industry because it's still viewed as a cheaper, quicker, more efficient way for the industry to harvest sugarcane.
Now, just for the sake of transparency, I do want to note, and I have mentioned before on the program, I grew up in Clewiston in the 70s and 80s. So I do remember the burn days. I remember days of heavy, thick smoke. And I'm curious why it's taken this long for anybody to say it's time to stop the burning.
Sure. Well, this has always been an issue that folks who have been impacted throughout the region have complained about over the years. But, it wasn't until there had been more medical research that has taken place from elsewhere in the world where sugarcane burning had been a major practice that there became more awareness of the links between medical issues such as respiratory diseases like asthma and even cancer and kidney disease over the term of long-term exposure, that there became a growing awareness of the negative impacts.
You know, one of the things, too, to mention is this. So, again, to paint this picture for people to understand is that you've got three towns in the vicinity of the sugarcane fields, Pahokee, Belle Glade, And those are in Palm Beach County. Clewiston is in Henry County, but it's right there on a lake, right underneath Lake Okeechobee. And Clewiston is where the sugar refinery is located. So tell us again what happens during the burning season and, you know, why those areas, why these towns get hit the hardest.
Sure. Well, a lot of reason that these towns get hit the hardest has to do with the manner that pre-harvest sugar field burning is regulated and permitted by the Florida Forestry Service. And this has to do with wind direction and speed. So to give you an example, on a given day during the harvesting season when a sugar grower files permit for burning, if the wind direction and speed would be projected to take the smoke and ash towards the more affluent and urban communities of eastern Palm Beach County, then that permit can be denied. Whereas if the smoke blows towards the more rural, lower-income Glades communities in the interior, then a permit will be approved with a much more minimal protections put in place. So you have a situation where these communities have to bear the negative brunt of this industrial scale polluting practice.
You spoke to a number of residents about their experience during the burn season, and this is from Belle Glades. This is a resident you talked to, an activist, Shanique Scott, speaking at a Poor People's Campaign rally in April of this year. Let's listen.
You know, growing up, we saw the ash, the black ash, as being normal. You know, something that you know, you would see, you're like, this is black snow. And so we used to play in the black ash and also see the billows of smoke and, you know, think that it was just normal because we lived in a sugarcane burning area. So you didn't complain, you didn't say anything, and that was it. However, when you grow up, and you're educated and you become aware of some things, you say, wait, this can't be right. You know, this is not right, especially coming back home and also hearing the stories of all of, you know, my family members, hearing the stories even of my family members, those ones who have passed, even of cancer. One of my good friends and also my grandmother had a sugarcane burning field right next to their homes, and they died of cancer.
Patrick, in the conversations you had with residents of that area, what else did you hear from them?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the a common theme that we do here is that folks are told by their doctors when they seek treatment for their reoccurring respiratory issues that the best long-term solution for them is to move to a community away from the Glades with better year-round air quality, which is not something many folks have the resources nor the desire to do, and nor should they have to.
Wait a minute. Doctors are telling residents, move.
Yes, that's a common story that we have heard from residents. And also we hear, in fact, many of the folks who are actively involved and are leading our campaign have family members themselves, especially children, who suffer from respiratory issues like asthma, which are exacerbated during the sugarcane burning season, and they require inhalers.
And you've talked to teachers. We talk about children. You've talked to teachers about their experience.
Yes. Teachers who have taught all over the state of Florida have been shocked at what they found at teaching in Glades Community Schools. They've said they've never taught more students that suffer from issues like asthma and require the use of so many inhalers. And in fact, one of the local schools, which is surrounded by sugarcane fields, the city of South Bay, had to be evacuated in years past due to sugarcane smoke from a nearby sugarcane field inundating the school. Six kids had to be sent to the hospital for emergency treatment, and many more on site as a result. And it's pretty disconcerting to hear that, especially when you know, we know that the industry does not have to burn, and you know, there's an alternative like green harvesting in place that makes it this burning and all the negative impacts obsolete.
And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But look, I don't have U.S. Sugar or Florida Crystals here to speak up for themselves, but things they've said in the past that have been published, the sugar companies have pointed to, they will point to studies from the American Lung Association that show that the air quality in Palm Beach County is good. So how do you counter that?
Sure. Well, that's very misrepresentative in being that these air quality rankings take into account national averages, and they derive their data from existing air quality monitors. And within the entire Everglades agricultural area where sugarcane fields are burnt, there's only one air quality monitor in place that measures for one pollutant out of the many toxic pollutants that we know from emission factor studies that have been found to be produced by sugarcane burns. So, and the fact is that sugarcane burning produces short spikes in air pollution, which can't always be accurately measured by the existing air quality monitoring devices in place, which just take 24-hour averages. So it's not creating a real picture of what folks who are living around these sugarcane fields can be exposed to and breathe during the sugarcane burning season.
One of the people who's been outspoken is former NFL running back Fred Taylor, who's from the area. He shared his story of growing up and the impact that the smoke has had on his health. What do we know about the long-term exposure of this smoke on individuals? You talked about kids and their health, but what research is out there that points to extended exposure to this is causing these things?
Well, sure. There's the majority of the medical research on this has taken place within the nation of Brazil. And they've taken into account annual hospital visits for respiratory issues and also cancer rates in areas that are surrounded by major sugarcane burning operations. And this is the data that is shown that being exposed to these pollutants does play a factor. And certainly the research is new on this topic, so there will be more coming in the future. But another thing to take into account, especially in relation to the Glades communities, is that the EPA has an Environmental Justice Impact Index health map that lists the Glades communities as in the 80 to 100 percentile average risk rate for lifetime residents for respiratory health impacts and also for cancer risks for those who live in the Glades communities. And these indexes take into account a number of factors such as demographic, environmental pollutants in the area, and also amount of lead paint and other infrastructural issues in the community. But what they do point out is that these communities are vulnerable to health issues, and certainly with the existing medical research and that shows the type of pollutants and the amount that are being released, it certainly shows that this is certainly a threat to people's public health who live in these communities.
The recent class action lawsuits are trying to stop the next burning. It begins in October. Is that enough time? I mean, as a lawyer, can you tell me, is that enough time to stop something? We're just a couple of months away.
Well, sure. I really don't want to comment on an ongoing lawsuit in one way or the other. But, the main focus of our campaign, our grassroots campaign, has been the public education, and not just the negative issues surrounded by pre-harvest sugar field burning, but the benefits associated with the alternative, which is green harvesting. So I can say it is possible, because I know that the sugarcane industry is already green harvesting.
One of the things you said a moment ago that's interesting is, talking about what's going on in Brazil or in Hawaii and other countries that also harvest sugarcane. But again, U.S. Sugar and Florida Crystals have stated, but those are different countries. It's a different situation over there, and it can't be relatable here. You've heard that argument. What do you say to that?
Oh, sure. I've heard that argument, and I find that hard to accept. These countries have devoted a lot more time and resources into not just the research end, but the applications of green harvesting, and a lot of the big shift has been influenced in part due to these health studies and you know, the awareness of the negative impacts, but has also been driven by you know, the growing awareness of the agronomic and economic benefits associated with green harvesting. And I can point to in Brazil, in addition to using the sugarcane leaves and tops, which referred to as trash, as a mulch. They also use that trash back in the mill to certain extents to generate more electricity, as the industry currently does with the bagasse byproduct. And they also use it in the development of biofuels such as ethanol. And in Australia, I can point to the fact that they actually bale the sugarcane mulch, process and bag it, and sell it as commercial mulch. And I've spoken to farms that make more money off of selling their mulch than they do from the sugarcane they produce on their fields. But to the more pertinent example is what's taking place in Louisiana right now. So you have a corporate partnership between a sugarcane mill there and a company called American Biocarbon, where right now 100% of the sugarcane that feeds that mill is green harvested, and the sugarcane trash is separated at the mill and mixed with the bagasse to create biochar.
Right.
And that's creating an economic incentive for the growers there to green harvest. You know, that's something that we would like the industry to make efforts and investments.
And I want to talk again. You've kind of given us an idea of what other countries are doing when it comes to finding a cleaner way to do it. And I want to get into why the sugar companies here have argued that it's not viable for them. But again, just to mention, we're talking with Patrick Ferguson, an organizer with the Sierra Club here in Palm Beach County. He's leading the Stop Sugarcane Field Burning campaign. Again, I mentioned there is a lawsuit being filed by two Belgrade residents that's been filed to ban the practice ahead of this year's season, which starts in October. We have reached out to US Sugar for comment. We're still waiting for a response. Patrick, have you spoken with anybody from US Sugar or Florida Crystals?
Yes, in the past, we've had conversations you know, tried to relay information, which, you know, privately individuals have been more open to. Publicly, they've taken a hard line, which has been hard for us to develop a dialogue going forward. Consistently, they've framed our campaign and all of the activists leading our campaign as anti-farming activists who are, you know, just a part of some Sierra Club-driven conspiracy theory to put them out of business, which is absolutely not the case. So that, unfortunately,
So let's talk about the fact that, again, we come back to this idea of green harvest. So, again, you look at just to paint the picture here, you look at a sugarcane stalk, and these things could be 6-7 feet tall or more, and it's very leafy. The burning gets rid of the leaves so they can go in, cut the canes, the sticks. They say that's necessary, and it's cheaper that way. They've also argued, as you know, that with the green harvesting, that the leafy part creates a problem. It's expensive to remove, but it creates a problem because it leaves this layer of this leafy area on the soil. So you've argued to them, but other places are taking that and turning it into mulch, or it could just be used as mulch. What do they say to that? And what do they say about what the cost is, why they're not doing it?
Sure. Well, I've heard differing opinions on the matter. I've heard that there's increased transportation costs associated with dealing with the excess plant material. And also, I've heard that there's concerns about the trash being left on the ground and that interfering with the yields of the next ratoons. You know, a lot of the research involved, including a recent University of Florida IFAS study, actually found, and they compared two fields with burnt sugarcane and one with green harvested sugarcane. And at the end of their study, they determined that there was no significant difference in the overall yields. And that same study would recommend that this be researched further. And as far as trash causing other problems such as increased passenger diseases. I haven't seen the industry point to any real research to back this up. And in fact, everything I've learned about green harvesting elsewhere is that it takes time for there to be a return on these yields that results from the trash, which in turn is used as mulch, from being recycling the nutrients back into the soil. And I've heard that depending on the fields, it can be anywhere between a 4 to 8 year tipping point where the overall yields can actually increase due to the increased soil health.
Have you,
as a result?
You know, Patrick, yes. if you had the chance to talk to any of the workers, any of the people who are out there in the fields, and their thoughts about that?
Sure. I haven't had as much in-depth conversations about it as I would like, but one thing we learned early on in trying to reach out to smaller independent farmers is we found that there could be grant opportunities put in place to help fund a green harvesting pilot program.
Well, one of the reasons I ask is because of this. Look, those towns. You know, and again, having grown up in Clewiston, these are small towns, Clewiston, Belglade, South Bay, as you mentioned, Pahokee, and they depend a lot on, it's agriculture. So much of their business is agriculture. A little bit is the life on Lake Okeechobee, but, and the sugar industry is a big employer. So I wonder if people are willing to speak up and speak out against basically the hand that feeds them.
No, well, certainly there is a lot of reluctance, and I've witnessed this for folks to just as you said, speak out against the hand that feeds them, and we even have folks who are campaign leaders who have relatives that work within the sugarcane industry. And, so it's been hard, and some folks have received pushback for speaking out publicly against the industry's interests. But, from all the research that we've had access to, and I should say that I've spoken to agricultural engineers who know a lot more about this than me, who are experts in the field of green harvesting, certainly believe that in the long term that this could benefit the industry. And, and everything we've learned about all the other byproducts that can be created as a result shows that if the industry does invest in a transition, that this can create new jobs in the community, green jobs, and new economic opportunity overall. But it requires a top-down approach and for the industry to make the initial investments.
Let me just finish with this. We've heard politicians talk about challenging U.S. sugar, and the governor also, it talked out about not taking any support from the sugar industry. But, the Sierra Club has talked about getting into this fight for the long haul. What does that look like? And politically, what do you think has to happen?
Well, sure. Well, right now, the most important thing is creating more of the awareness of the issue and of the benefits associated with green harvesting. And, the sugar industry is a powerful company with a lot of political power, which is well known as well. And power concedes nothing without demand. So we're confident that as we continue to spread awareness on this issue and continue to strengthen the public demand, that eventually decision makers and all parties on board will come to the table and push forward an end to this ongoing injustice and the beginning of green harvesting and new economic opportunity for the Glades communities.
Patrick Ferguson, an organizer with the Sierra Club in Palm Beach County, leading the Stop Sugarcane Field Burning campaign. You can learn more about it on our social media. Patrick, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much for having me.
I do want to mention, too, as just to be transparent, I mean, I did grow up in Clewiston. I do remember those smoky days. They were difficult to get through. And also, for the sake of transparency, I want to mention that my late grandfather did work for U.S. Sugar. Just wanted to say that. Well, still to come, how safe is the drinking water at your child's school? We're going to meet the group that's trying to get to the bottom of that question coming up next on Sundial.